Live from New York, it's The Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. Nice to have you with us today. We have so much to share, always starting with the latest on health and healing and how we can live a longer and more enlightened life. We're going to talk about our antipsychotic drugs, more dangerous than dementia patients than we've ever thought. After all, now we're hearing that the pilot that crashed and killed 150 innocent people, he was on antipsychotic medication. Well, we'll go into that. Also, we're going to look at the Mediterranean diet, new information on what it does for your health. We're also going to look at exercise, what it does, and a whole lot more. Then we're going to look at our environment. There's a new study out that shows that there are only, are you ready for this? 2 intact forests left on Earth. Brooke Hayes from Terra Daily. I didn't know this. And I've been working for 9 years. I thought there were 3. Turns out there are 2 based upon the latest science. Wow. I'll go into that. Also, there's a New York bill that would effectively make you a felon if you're arrested during a protest. Hard to imagine, it gets worse. I'll talk about California's water crisis, and we must change our food system. Some new information from Sonali Kalhatkar from Truthdig. Also, from our vaccine area, the same mercury used in vaccines conclusively linked to causing autoimmune disorders. I'll share that new scientific study from Jonathan Benson. Also, the vaccine witch hunt accelerates as city council members told they cannot have opinions on vaccines unless those opinions match official propaganda. J.D. Hayes of Natural News will also talk about water rationing in California. It's going on now. Who'd they leave out of it? The people who use the most. Big Agra. So the fines are in there now, but it's not going to make a difference. It wasn't meant to make a difference. How could the people of California not see this? Well, they got a governor who they didn't see. I'll tell you about California drought. Water rationing plan leaves corporate interest untouched. From Evan Blake. Commentary today on our collective psychopathology. How we have become a police state in the method used by John Coffis from Countercurrents. Also, some stuff out of France that you won't believe, and this is from the Prime Minister. They want to force legislation to make all conspiracy theories illegal. That means that if there's any information that is not officially sanctioned, it is considered no longer legitimate. It is a conspiracy theory, and you can't even go to the website. They will reassign you to go to a government website. Hard to believe, but it's true. Oh, and by the way, in one legislator now has come up with a new bill. This is HB 985 that would have school teachers diagnose psychological issues in children and report them to police. So it's the school teacher that would make the diagnosis, and then the police department would be notified, and your child would then have to be taken to a special facility. And if not, well, then they'd be forced to go. How about that? And yet, living in so many parts of America, depending upon your lifestyle, you would never know this stuff is going on. It is. Oh, and by the way, for the person who called me yesterday or left a message, you were talking about using Germany as an example of an economic model to follow. Today, poverty in Germany reaches a record high. Quote, poverty in Germany has not only reached a new record high, It has also threatened the country with disintegration into disparate regions, end quote. And who said that? Germany's official Federation of Welfare Associations. So, better do a little better homework, a little more scholarship, before you recommend a country that's as close to pure fascism as it was in the 1930s, and going broke. We'll talk about that. And France, you don't want anyone to hear any story that you haven't sanctioned? Okay. Well, let me share then a story today that the audience wouldn't have known about, no one has heard about, virtually no news anywhere about, but it's a legitimate story, fully documented. The dark and secret dungeons of Iraq. Horror stories for female prisoners. So from Global Research, Miss Nadhar, we will have the stories that France wouldn't want you to hear and would allow you to hear. And no one in America in the media is allowing this to come forward. So as you see, we deal with a lot of different issues. Let's begin. I'm opposed to all antipsychotic medication. I'm completely opposed to all antidepressant medication. Why? First, because depression and anxiety disorders are not proven to be due to a chemical imbalance in the brain, as we've been propagandized for almost 30 years to believe. And if you look carefully at the little white subscript at the bottom of the ad, it'll say not proven, suspected, or believe. Well, there's a whole lot of difference in science between you believing something and proving something. But your marketing is based upon the idea that you've proven it. It's all smoke and mirrors. There is no study anywhere in the world that proves that depression or anxiety are due to brain chemical imbalance, and that by taking their medications, Zoloft, Effexor, Prozac, Paxil, that you will be corrected and cured. None, zero, zip, not one single article. And yet the entire fraud of the psychiatric community is able to perpetuate these myths because people are very susceptible to being conditioned. As a result of that, people line up. How bad is it? 25% of all American women between 25 and 45 are now taking their medications for psychiatric conditions. What about the idea that life happens and that get yourself some support system that can help you get through these tough times? We're all going to go through them. Everyone listening right now will go through the death of a loved one. I've gone through 3 in the last 8 weeks. And you don't want those to happen, but you know they're going to happen. You know you're going to go through the death of your cat, your dog, possibly your bird, unless it's a macaw because they live 75 years. You're going to go through the dissolving of relationships, losing jobs. You're going to go through health crisis. Now, if we understand that in the way we make our choices, this will still happen, but we're better prepared for it, and we have less of it happening, that's the best we can do. There is no perfection in life when it comes to dealing with all good, all happy, all the time. That's just New Age nonsense. We have to be practical, pragmatic, and realistic. We have to be intelligent enough to look ahead at the choice we're making and say, will I be able to feel happy about my choice 1 year, 5 years from now? If not, then put down the hot dog, the hamburger, the cigarette, the alcohol, the drug, the medication. Ask yourself, is there another option? And the answer is yes. So that's why I'm opposed to this, because we've gotten away from the idea that we can look for natural and humanistic resources where we can have compassionate, thoughtful people who are professionally capable of helping guide us through our moments of crisis. Instead, we rely upon a pill. This was from the University of Michigan. Quote, drugs aimed at quelling the behavioral problems of dementia patients may also hasten their deaths. Well, okay, and this was published in the Journal of the American Medical Association. Now consider this. Consider right now that dementia follows memory loss. So you got to know what's happening when you start forgetting things. Did I lock the door? Who took my keys? And you start forgetting. And it's not all at once, and yet you're old memories can be perfectly intact. You can remember in minute detail things that happened decades ago. But what you read last night, you've forgotten. Even the title of a movie you might have seen. That should be a red flag. But we don't pay attention to red flags. And we don't pay attention to flashing red lights. And we don't pay attention to when everything in front of us says, stop. Just pay attention. Where you're at has nothing to do with the moment you're in. Nothing. Zip. Nothing. But it does have everything to do with every choice you've made in your past, good or bad. It's cumulative. And here we are. So don't look at yourself and look in the mirror and be surprised. Say, I'm exactly where I put myself. These are the choices I made. Beating up on yourself at that point, being angry at yourself, being dismissive of yourself, or being completely apathetic doesn't help you. Making good choices from then on to start your life over does. And we all have a right, and I believe a moral and spiritual responsibility to start over. Not to punish ourselves, not to blame anyone else, because we shouldn't, but rather to say, I'm wiser because of the mistakes I've made, and I'm not going to make them again, because I understand their outcomes. And I understand how I got to where I even wanted to make that mistake. Instead, I'm going to make intelligent, reasonable, and spiritual choices going forward. That we can do, and that we have to be responsible for. So if we took that lesson, then we wouldn't be dumping millions of Americans who have dementia or Alzheimer's into nursing homes where they're going to be medicated, they're going to be put on these antipsychotic medications because people are confused when they have dementia. Where am I? What's your name? Do I know you? Yeah, I'm your son. I'm your daughter. I'm your granddaughter. You are? And what happens is the staff is not capable of handling this. So they just give them these antipsychotics and people just zone out. That's no way to treat a person. That's inhumane. We're just warehousing for a profit people until they pass. And instead, here's the good news in what I propose. I propose starting from scratch and building the first holistic assisted living center in America, where the only therapy a person is giving is humanistic and holistic, from hyperbaric oxygen to vitamin drips, from raw and living diets to having pets that a person can choose. Do you want a dog? Do you want a cat? Do you want a bird? Do you want a goat? What do you want? And then let them be in nature. Let them be in a positive environment. And then have people know how to rebuild brain chemistry, how to get rid of those amyloid plaques, how to re-energize the mitochondria, how to create a PPQ and special high absorption level nutrients into the neurons to rejuvenate them. In effect, like you would if you were taking an old spark plug and scraping off with a wire metal brush the corrosion. We have the technology to do that. There's no reason that people with dementia and Alzheimer's can't be improved. They can be, to varying degrees, depending upon the therapy, depending upon their stage, and depending upon what we do. So that is what I see the future to be. And sometime within the next 12 months, I'm going to be trying that and seeing if we can't take a group of people for a year and see the results, measure them all, have them independently medically evaluated by neurologists, psychiatrists, immunologists before they go in and a year later and see the improvement. Because with each person, depending upon how bad they are and what you're able to get them to do. So that's what we should be doing, not giving antipsychotic medication. Now, another study from Benedictine University talked about a phytochemical-rich diet. There's your good diet of vegetables, plants, lots of berries in there, can explain the absence of age-related decline in visual acuity. Well, that's good news. What that means is that when people ate more fruits and vegetables, their vision remained better longer. And they did this study, and they found that that was the case. So good. Also, something that can help cancer. By the way, let me just, I've been asked repeatedly. We just finished filming the last person for the new feature film I'm doing in Los Angeles 2 days ago. And he flew in from Australia. What an interview. Wow. Anyone who directs films in this audience, and I know we have some people who do films, you know when you sit behind a camera and you're hoping, without coaching the person, that what you want is what they're going to say. But more often than not, it doesn't happen that way. So you might take a five-minute, what would have been a five-minute interview, and you have to spend 2 hours just talking with the person so that they make a statement that makes a difference. And this person, just every single statement was profound. I mean, just absolutely spot on. And the kind of thing that is like turning a light on in your consciousness. You can't hear this man talk without being motivated and inspired. So I'm putting for the first 5 minutes in the film with phenomenal B-roll. We've got the best footage. We've been filming this footage in the highest F, taking time. And wow, the new film is going to be visually spectacular, better than any film I've ever done. And the theme of it, I won't go any further than that, the theme is spot on for our times. So this is I've been filming this for quite some time, for 3 years, but it's now done. And anyhow, someone came over and was talking with me about cancer. And one of the things I suggested is, have you tried modified citrus pectin? And the person says, no, I never heard about it. And they've heard about Brzezinski and they've heard about Gerson. I said, well, understand that there's a lot you should do yourself before you go see any of the therapists to build up your immune system and to help you. Because in modified citrus pectin, this is for any cancer, by the way, any cancer. Pectin is a fiber. It's a really good fiber. You find it in apples and citrus, some berries. The pectin found in citrus fruits, but not in a modified form, has a lot of cancer, anti-cancer properties. For pectins to be absorbed by the body, rather than passing just right through your intestine, it must be modified to a low molecular weight so it can go through and permeate into the body. So modified citrus pectin is just citrus pectin. It's been modified to make the molecules smaller. It's a result of pH and temperature modification that breaks the pectin into shorter chained carbohydrates that dissolve more easily in water and better absorb. So what do they do? Well, according to the Journal of the National Cancer Institute, they found that a reduction in the spread of melanoma in a laboratory experiment with modified citrus pectin. Now, there's also studies on breast cancer, inhibiting prostate cancer with modified citrus pectin. In fact, another study involving men with prostate cancer found the PSA doubling time, a measure of the prostate cancer progression, increased in 7 of 10 men who consume modified citrus pectin for a year in comparison to pre-treatment values, demonstrating a reduction in cancer progression. So it helped people tremendously. And what it is you have what is called galactin 3 that enables the cells to recognize and interact with each other. And the administration of pectin prevents the interaction of galactins, thereby reducing cancer cell adherence, aggression, and migration. It also is a great detoxifier. That's one of the reasons that all my retreats, I make sure that we have every day, all day, pectin juices, including the whole lemon, lime, orange, and berries as well. So it's really good, and it's powerful. Also, And by the way, I suggest one glass a day. High blood pressure medicine now can cause permanent injury to your GI tract. They've known this for some time, but they still keep selling their drugs. So I just want you to know that the Mayo Clinic reported a link between the celiac-like gastrointestinal conditions and patients who had high blood pressure medication given. So if you've got high blood pressure, look for all the effective treatments outside of blood pressure lowering medications. Get your physician, your healthcare practitioner. Let them know that you end up with sprue-like enteropathy, severe abdominal pain, chronic severe diarrhea, malabsorption of nutrient, significant weight loss, nausea, vomiting, rash, hair loss, irregular heartbeat, chest pain, arthritis, kidney and liver issues, all with these blood pressure lowering medications. There's so many other ways to lower blood pressure. And finally, good information on ginger from Sayer G of Green Med Info. Quote, ginger has been studied to have value in over 150 health conditions, with type 2 diabetes top on the list, with anti-diabetic drugs linked to increased cardiovascular death. Natural alternatives are needed now more than ever. And then it goes into 2,100 published studies on the medical properties of ginger. Wow. So get some ginger. Now, there are two good ways to take ginger. Don't take the powder. Instead, get yourself some ginger root, scrape it, and then juice about 1 inch, and then mix that with 1 ounce of lemon juice and 1 ounce of wheatgrass juice. That is a detoxing shot. You take that in the morning, follow it with water, preferably coconut water, and you've just done your body an enormous amount of good. So ginger for all kinds of conditions, but if you're diabetic, it's an anti-diabetic agent. It helps insulin be regulated, and significantly. So that's ginger, and that's our nutrient. Finally, by the way, olive oil antioxidant naturally kills all cancer cells tested within an hour. That's right. That's according to some research. And there was an article published on this that it does not hurt human cells. We know that. But according to a study conducted by researchers from Rutgers University and Hunter College, published in the journal Molecular and Cell Oncology, quote, the Mediterranean diet is known to be associated with a reduced risk of many different kinds of cancer. Whereas the entire diet likely has many benefits, this study pointed directly to the olive oil phenolic compound as playing an especially important role in these observations. As more people turn to the Mediterranean diet as a healthy life option, this phytonutrient, this oleocanthal, is growing in significance as a key active component of this diet. End quote. Now, many healthful plant compounds are known to induce programmed cell death. And in cancer cells, by targeting a specific protein that controls the process. Yet programmed cell death typically takes between 16 and 24 hours to complete, and prior studies had shown that cancer cells exposed to this oleo, O-L-E-O, canthal, C-A-N-T-H-A-L, oleocanthal, that's from the olive, they died within 30 to 60 minutes of exposure. So the oleocanthal was acting very fast. So it's not a normal, it's not like programmed cell death, which takes up to 24 hours. This is taking under an hour. So that's terrific. Quote, we needed to determine if oleocanthal was targeting that protein and causing the cells to die. So anyhow, once you open one of those things, all hell breaks loose. End quote. The study showed that once the lysosomes burst apart, critical life-sustaining functions in the cancer cells began to break down, and there was no harm to the nearby healthy cells. Instead, it put them into a kind of stasis or hibernation for about a day. After that time, the cells resume normal, healthy functioning with no apparent lasting effects. Quote, the mechanisms of killing cancer cells and sparing healthy cells, lysosomal membrane, permeation has been hypothesized as a possible mechanism. So, the takeaway message, olive oil, extra virgin organic olive oil and olives, terrific for you. They have a nutrient in there that can make a difference. And by the way, they're not the only things that can kill cancer cells and inhibit tumors. If I had to give you my list, and let's write them down real quick, here would be the things I would take every day to help prevent cancer. Turmeric, why? Because it has curcumin. That is the most powerful antioxidant known from the Indian spice turmeric, and it has thousands of articles on it. There's at least 700 studies published in peer-reviewed journals on just some of its healing benefits. Then I would do sea vegetables, nori, hijiki, wakame, arami, kombu, kelp, bladderwrack. Then I would use grapes, grape juice, grape concentrate, grape seed extract, grape powders, and because it contains resveratrol. And resveratrol in grape is a phenolic compound that contributes to the antioxidant potential of red grapes. And it's not only an antioxidant, it's also an anti-mutagen. It reduces oxidative stress that causes cell death. So it's been shown to inhibit the production of tumor necrosis factor. It's just terrific. Chlorella and spirulina, green tea, cruciferous vegetables, you know, broccoli, kale, Brussels sprouts, turnips, cabbage, arugula, mustard, collard greens. Those are your cruciferous. Tomatoes and medicinal mushrooms and garlic and hemp oil. So those, put on your list. Makes a difference. I'm Gary Nall. We're going to take a break and come back. A lot more to go. Please stay with us. With us, everyone. We're going to be talking about our environmental segment in a moment, and vaccines and saving water and collective psychopathology. And we're going to look what they're trying to do to keep people from knowing the truth about, well, the truth about everything except what the French believe is the truth. Anyone who disagrees, you would be considered a conspiracy theorist. They want to make it a law. Can you imagine that? That's fascism. Shouldn't surprise you. We're going to take a moment. Have something new. Not only do I have something new, I have two things new. And this has taken a long time. Wow. This has taken several years. It actually started with a request. And there was a couple that was in a health support group about 3 years ago. And they were in their mid-50s and had not been exercising, a successful couple, educated, and they had let their work, their different careers, control their lives, and they were trying to get their life back on track. And after one of the evenings, the man came over and says, you know, it would help us if there was something that really had everything in it for men and something that really had everything in it for women that would make a difference. And I thought about it. And it kept roiling around in my mind. And then I started to see something. I saw that it's great when people can make all the right choices, when they know what to eat and how much to eat and how to exercise and how often to exercise and how to de-stress and not overreact to stressors, how to clean up their environment, how to have the right people in their life and get rid of the wrong people, say goodbye, how not to live through false stories and false narratives. And there are some people who can do that, and they're in the minority. The vast majority of people can't. I wish it were otherwise. For most people, it helps them if it's made simple, because the reality is they're not going to change their life. And they know that. Smart people, good people, but frequently not making smart decisions and good for them decisions. So that's where I came to the idea to create something that was utterly and completely original and unique. And today I am premiering it. Now, I'm limited. They're literally bottling these today and we'll get them tomorrow. And you'll be able to, we'll ship them out on Monday. But here's what they are. First Men stuff. Now, as people know, I do not make any claims. But this is kosher. It is vegan. And it's a special proprietary blend for men. Men, I would say, from the age of 40 on. My ingredients, including a 4-to-1 ratio, Muaira Puama. Now, you can Google these and see for yourself why I use them, because there's a lot of science behind each one of these, and a lot of history, and a lot of usage in the countries that I've used them for a long period of time. I'll let you do that. What I'm going to tell you is that I chose these based upon all the hours I put into researching it. Tribulus extract, 8-to-1. Schisandra extract, 4-to-1. Maca, M-A-C-A root. Just Google maca root extract and see what it says. Ginkgo biloba. Longjack. Bet you haven't heard of longjack before. Nettle root extract. Yohimbe extract. Y-O-H-I-M-B-E. Yohimbe. You talk about a superstar. You talk about the Elvis of herbal extracts for men. Yohimbe is it at a 4-to-1 extract. By the way, the jack is 100-to-1. Ashwagandha extract. Horny goatweed extract. Go to Europe. Go to Italy and France and the Mediterranean and ask about horny goatweed. Eurylithocosis extract. Panax ginseng plus apple. GMO-free soy lecithin. Banana. Cocoa. That's chocolate. Oat beta-glucan and Damiana leaves. It is sweetened with stevia. Himalayan sea salt. Chocolate. That's it. It comes in a month's supply. It's delicious tasting. It took, I think, 7 taste tests before it was perfected. A lot goes into this. So for every man listening right now, you're over 40, this is what you want. And for women, this is what you want to get. And make sure your man has this each morning. Now, this is completely separate from green stuff, red stuff, greens and grains, berry blast. I take all those every day, but I take this every day. Every day. Men's stuff. Now, not to be left out of this, I made women's stuff. Now, women's stuff, again, this is my own proprietary blend. It's kosher. It is vegan. It is the finest quality ingredients I could find in the world. The number one ingredient is the number one used herb, I believe, in the world for women, Dong Quai, D-O-N-G-Q-U-A-I. 10-to-1 extract, maca root, nettle root extract, wild yam extract, ashwagandha extract, flaxseed, soy isoflavon, sweet potato, blueberries, kale, coca, broccoli, apple, banana, and oat bran with stevia and chocolate. So this is for women over the age of 40. One scoop a day in the morning. There's no milk, yeast, lactose, wheat, gluten-free, vegan. It's perfect. All right? For all women. Now, mind you, I don't tell you what it does. I don't make any claims. But because you're smart. And you know the things that happen in a man's body, in a woman's body after the age of 40. The full spectrum. I created something for the full spectrum. It doesn't get better than this. Now, today, I'm limited because our first batch today is only 100 bottles. So you can call. I'm going to give you three numbers. The first number, 646-926-5422. Again, 646-926-5422. If that should be busy, call a different number. For Bill Thompson standing by at 800-326-5661. 1-800-326-5661. 1-800-326-5661. And if that should be busy, you can call Neil in the Vitamin Closet at 212-874-4000. 212-874-4000. So, after all these years, now we have something specifically for men and women. Full spectrum. Everything I could possibly imagine, and it was a long, detailed process. These are not thrown together. A great deal of thought and contemplation and research goes into this. And there you have it, for men and for women. Something unique, standalone, beneficial. 646-926-5422 or the other numbers. Men's stuff and women's stuff. Now you know what's in them and their percentages and just the percentage of knowing how to base it and how much and then testing it. And now it's available, but limited in supply. When we run out, it'll take about 4 weeks to make some new ones because I make everything in tiny little batches now, so it's all fresh. You run the risk of running out sometimes, but that's the way it is. So give a call to those numbers. Back in a moment. Please stay with us. Welcome all of you, I'm Gary Nall. We have a lot to share with you, still upcoming. We're going to talk about the only two intact forests left on Earth and a bill that could effectively make you a felon if you are arrested at a protest and collective psychopathology. But first we want to say hello to Luann Panessi. Hi, Luann. Is Luann on the line?
I am here.
Hi, Luann.
Hi. So, Gary, I am still interviewing for the up-and-coming retreat. And, boy, I tell you, I love volunteering, and this is just one of the best jobs because I get to talk to everybody in your audience. So, if anyone is interested in coming to a life-changing event, this coming April. It's in the middle of April. I've got openings for our second week, which is April 19th to the 25th. Give me a call. It's just going to be, it's shaping up to be just a fun, upbeat group of people.
Well, the workshops are upbeat. Artist Healing is one of the most popular. Our meditation and Tai Chi classes, biofeedback and meditation, yoga, cooking classes, exercise classes, personal counseling on health issues, and for the homesteading classes, sprouting classes, they're going to be able to eat the sprouts that are growing there now, the microgreens and the wheatgrass, getting all their juices throughout the day, plus gourmet meals. We have a group of chefs coming. One chef's coming from Detroit, another's from New York, another's from Florida. We have cooking classes. Give a call and give your number, Luann.
Yes, it's 631-504-6198. That's 631-504-6198. And I interview everybody. You got to make sure this is going to be the right event for you. And we're going to be doing yoga and meditation, personal training. I'll be there doing health counseling. There'll be lectures throughout the day. And based on the feedback we've gotten from the past retreats, Gary, this one's going to be equally as good, if not better.
Great. Thank you, Luann.
Okay.
A new study suggests the world's forests are more fragmented than ever before. Analysts have, from North Carolina State University, showed that if one were to be dropped randomly into one of the world's many forests, there would be a 70% chance of being within a half mile of the forest edge. And if forests are fragmented, so are vital habitats. Researchers point out that development within urban, suburban, and agriculture areas continues to carve up forests, fields, and wetlands, and the ecosystems they contain. A single road may not seem like much of an impediment to humans, but a two-lane stretch of pavement can sever a vulnerable piece of habitat. This is all according to Brooks Hayes of Terra Daily. Quote, to quantify habitat fragmentation, researchers at North Carolina State use satellite imagery to build a map of global forest cover. Computer analysis showed that very few forests remain unaffected by human development. It is no secret that the forests of the world are shrinking. So this study asked about the effects of this habitat loss and fragmentation on the remaining forest. The results were astounding. Nearly 20% of the world's remaining forest is the distance of a football field, or about 100 meters away from a forest edge. That means almost no forest can really be considered wilderness. The only truly intact forests that remain are in the Amazon and the Congo. The colleagues say that their new numbers have serious implications given previously amassed evidence that shows fragmentation is directly correlated with shrinking biodiversity. So what it's saying is, so you're thinking, well, what about the great forest up in Colorado and Canada and the boreal forest? Yeah, those are big, but you have roads through them, you have developments in them, you have exploitation of resources in them, you have coal mines, gold mines, oil fields in them. We're talking about intact, and just two are left. So we should pay some attention to trying to reclaim these, and if we had governments in place that respected that, then it would make a difference. By the way, I mentioned on yesterday's program the danger of the Gulf Stream weakening and that it could throw much of Europe into a really bad position. In effect, you could throw them into a mini ice age, what they had back in the 1200s. Well, according to the latest, quote, Gulf Stream slower than ever before. Quote, the Gulf Stream is the weakest it's been in at least 1,000 years, and as glacier melt in the Arctic continues to accelerate, the foot of the Atlantic's most powerful ocean currents keep pressing harder and harder on the brake pedal. A team of researchers recently analyzed an exhaustive catalog of geologic samples, including ice cores, tree rings, and coral, as well as ocean and lake sediments dating back to the year 900, Using sea surface and atmospheric temperature data derived from the sample, scientists were able to plot a history of ocean current behavior. The findings suggest the current slowdown is not only the most dramatic in recorded history, but also well outside the norm, enough to suggest it is not part of a natural fluctuation. So, keep this in mind. A lot of the things that are happening with the environment are happening way too fast for anyone to be able to accurately predict, oh, it's going to be 100 years from now, who cares? No, it's happening now. This is from Evan Blake. The unprecedented drought gripping California has deepened for the fourth consecutive year, having already set new records for the lowest annual precipitation levels on record. The 2014 brought the highest calendar year temperature for the state, while this February was the hottest on record and this January the driest. A recent study conducted by Daniel Griffin found that the current episode, quote, is the most severe drought in the last 1,200 years, with single year 2014 and accumulated moisture deficits worse than any previous continuous dry span. So, last Thursday, Governor Jerry Brown announced a new bill, which claims will provide $1 billion in drought-related spending, mostly on flood protection. The bill merely expedites funds already approved by California voters and will do nothing to resolve the state's dire water crisis. So last Tuesday, the California State Water Resources Control Board intensified emergency legislation targeting residential water wasters, initiating new law that you get a $500 fine if you use excessive water on your lawn. Both measures leave untouched the giant agribusinesses and coal, oil industries that account for the majority of the state's water usage and dominate the political system. On Sunday, Chuck Todd, host of NBC's Meet the Press, asked Governor Brown, quote, whether considering how much water is used by fracking, hydraulic fracturing, isn't that alone enough reason to prohibit fracking or temporarily stop it, end quote. Brown sought to deflect the question and responded, quote, no, not at all. First of all, fracking in California has been going on for more than 50 years. It uses a fraction of the water of fracking on the East Coast for gas particularly. Well, throughout his entire political career, dating back in the 1970s, Jerry Brown has been entirely beholden to big oil. And while posturing as a defender of the environment, he's accepted at least $2 million in campaign contributions from Chevron, Occidental Petroleum, Southern California Edison, Valero Energy, Tesoro Corporation, ConocoPhillips, Area Energy, jointly owned by Shell and ExxonMobil. Most of these companies donated the maximum amount possible to Brown's reelection campaign last November. Earlier this year, the San Francisco Chronicle reported for years state regulators knowingly allowed oil companies, mostly in the impoverished Central Valley, to pump their wastewater into groundwater aquifers that contaminated drinking water. Where do you think people get their drinking water in the Central Valley? From these aquifers. So every year, the oil industry in California produces 130 billion gallons of wastewater. And as the state is the third largest oil producer in the United States, Kern County, home of most of California's oil and hydraulic fracturing wells, has the worst air quality of any county in the United States, along with some of the highest rates of cancer and respiratory illnesses. Climate change, a byproduct of oil corporations' unrelenting drive to accumulate profit, has played the most significant role in determining the length and severity of the ongoing drought. And so here you had the Los Angeles Times prominently featuring an op-ed penned by NASA senior water scientist titled, California is about 1 year of water left. Will you ration now? So they're not rationing the big agri, they're not rationing the energy people, but they're rationing individual consumers. Not the smartest process. Also, as people listening to this program know, there is a major effort to have everyone in America in any official position at the state level, federal level, in the media, medicine, say vaccines are safe and effective. At the same time, we have an ever-growing group of professionals, doctors, scientists, who are saying, we looked at the evidence, and it's not there. You can't prove they're safe and effective. To the contrary, when you talk with a toxicologist, not an immunologist, toxicologist, they'll show you the very ingredients we're putting directly into the bloodstream create massive damage inside the developing body of a baby. Well, the toxicologists are never the ones who are invited to speak or never quoted. Now a member of the Spokane, Washington City Council said he was threatened with removal from a health panel if he espoused anything other than the consensus view that vaccines for children should be mandatory. According to J.D. Hayes of Natural News, quote, in an interview with local CBS affiliate KREM, Councilman Mike Fagan says other council members called on him to resign from the Board of Health following comments he made about vaccines. His vaccine crime was stating that he did not believe that the science of vaccinations is settled yet regarding safety. And since making his statements, he has clarified them somewhat, but other council members whose behavior borders on maniacal say he needs to be clear on the issue altogether, meaning he needs to parrot what they believe, or they will remove him from the board. So, if you happen to have an independent thought and it goes against the consensus, they say, leave us alone, you're not welcome. So good for him for standing up. I wish we had more legislators who had the courage to do so. And finally, on vaccines from Jonathan Benson Global Research, a new study published in the journal Environmental Health Perspectives provides fresh insight into why millions of people living in the developed world, meaning us, suffer from severe autoimmune disorders that were virtually unheard of before the advent of vaccines. Researchers from the University of Michigan Medical Center and public health schools in Ann Arbor found that mercury, like the kind added to vaccines as a preservative, is a major trigger of autoimmunity in women of childbearing age. Dr. Emily Summers and her colleagues looked at government data on women between the ages of 16 and 49, comparing their respective levels of mercury exposure to anti-nuclear antibody positivity, an indicator of autoimmune activity. Autoimmunity, as many of you know, listening to this program, is essentially an abnormal immune response in which errant antibodies attack the human body, causing systemic inflammation. The result is a variety of illnesses that are frequently debilitating, leaving you weak and unable to function. In women with high levels of mercury exposure, autoantibodies, or the antibodies responsible for triggering autoimmunity, were found to be more prevalent, and a direct correlation between the two was observed, leading researchers to conclude that mercury is a major risk factor for autoimmunity. And based upon the team's finding, Dr. Summers concluded that exposure to mercury is actually the main risk factor for autoimmunity, which would explain why so many children who have been vaccinated, according to Centers for Disease Control guidelines, now suffer from various autoimmune diseases. Quote, in our study, exposure to mercury stood out as the main risk factor for autoimmunity, stated Summers, adding in her study's conclusion that exposure to mercury, quote, at low levels generally considered safe, can still lead to subclinical autoimmunity among reproductive age females. So, if you want to know why so many kids are sick, it's all those different compounds. And by the way, for those who say, well, but if you eat tuna, you're getting mercury. First of all, if you eat tuna, you're getting a small amount of mercury, and that mercury is going into the gut, and there is not absorbed, goes out of the body, almost all of it. You're injecting a different type of mercury. Ethyl mercury, methyl mercury are not the same. You have to understand which mercury is going into the vaccines and then goes directly into the body. The body has no chance to filter it out. Quote, from the study, mercury is a known neurotoxin which can cross the placenta and blood-brain barrier and concentrate in the blood and brain, but can also have an effect on the immune system, kidneys, and lungs. And some autistic children have been found to have high levels of mercury in their hair, as well as heavy metals such as aluminum and lead that are also in vaccines. And so it is. Well, there's a new bill in New York, and you should be concerned about it, from Adam Johnson of Aldernet. Last Sunday, it was reported in some of the New York media, there's a push to make resisting arrest a felony, and it was officially introduced as a bill before the New York State Senate, after both Commissioner Bratton and New York Police Department Police Union, and simultaneously trial ballooning a similar law change a few weeks ago. The plan to make aggravated resisting arrest a felony is officially moving forward after State Senator Tony Avella proposed Bill SO 4260, that would render anyone who resisted arrest more than twice in a 10-year period span a felon. The justification for the new measure is typical NYPD victim-blaming spin. Is being presented as a way of preventing future Eric Gardners. Nonsense. So, just one more way that it would scare people from protesting, because remember, a lot of people are arrested not because they've committed a crime, but because they resisted arrest. Now, think of the logic of that. What's my crime? You've committed no crime. Okay, I'm going on my way. No, you're not. I'm going to arrest you. I haven't committed a crime. Why would you arrest me? Because I can. I see. What if I don't want you to? Well, then you're resisting arrest, and hence that's your crime. That's the insanity of this, and it is insane and shouldn't be accepted or tolerated. I'm going to get to some of the other issues on my next program where I have time, but my last issue today comes from a wonderful article from Sonali Kolhatkar from Truthdig. It's called, "To Solve California's Water Crisis, We Must Change the Nation's Food System." I agree with this. In fact, there was a bold headline of a recent Los Angeles Times editorial by the hydrologist Jay Fanganelia, and it says, "California has about 1 year of water left. Will we ration now?" And the write-up quickly made the social media rounds, prompting both panic and the usual blame game. It's because the meat eaters, or the vegan almond milk drinkers, or the bottled water guzzlers, everybody was blaming everyone else. California's water loss has been terrifying. Many people listening to this program are listening because for 31 years, 6 hours a week, on Wednesday I was on KPFK, our sister station. But people everywhere should be scared, not just Californians, because this story goes far beyond state lines. It's a story of global climate change and industrial agriculture. It's also a saga that began many decades ago with the early water wars of the 1930s. I'm sure you remember 1974 Roman Polanski's film Chinatown. Well, this is what Sonali has to say. Quote, "When my family first moved to the Los Angeles area, we spent years adjusting our lifestyle to be more in line with our values. 10 years ago, we stopped watering our lawn and eventually replaced the lawn with plants that are drought-tolerant or native to California. 3 years ago, we installed solar panels on our roofs. Last year, we diverted our laundry runoff to our vegetable garden and fruit trees through a gray water system. We have replaced all of our toilets with dual flush systems that take advantage of local rebates, and we practice responsible flushing. We also never wash our cars, and we shower less often. In the winter, we are investigating rainwater barrels, yet none of our efforts to be an example to others have done anything other than make us feel morally self-righteous enough to wag our fingers at water wasters. California's water resources are being mismanaged. According to Janet Redman, director of Climate Policy Program at the Institute for Policy Studies, a progressive think tank, quote, the management of water from California's historic aquifer and snow in rivers and lakes doesn't match the use right now. Even though Governor Jerry Brown just imposed a series of mandatory water conservation measures in response to the emergency, most of those measures are aimed at individual users and restaurants. And while it's crucial for residents to stop wasting water on the utterly useless task of washing lawns and cars, residential use in California is about 4%, 80% is agriculture. 4% is what people use. 80% is agriculture. The truth is California Central Valley, which is where the vast majority of the state's farming businesses are located, is a desert. That desert is irrigated with enough precious water to artificially sustain the growing of one-third of the nation's fruit and vegetables. That's a $40 billion a year industry. Think about it. A third of all the produce in the United States is grown in a desert in a state that has almost no water left. That produce is trucked from the West Coast all over the country to fossil fuel-consuming vehicles, thereby contributing to the very mechanism of climate change that is likely to be driving California's historic drought. It's not a place that agriculture at the scale and the scope that exists now should exist. The food journalist Mark Bittman, writing in the New York Times in 2012, summed up the dire situation in California's Central Valley. Quote, "For the last century or so, we've been exploiting almost without limitation its water, minerals, land, air, people, and animals." Yeah? And how'd that turn out? When water allocations in the federal government were cut, Central Valley farmers began drilling deep into the ground to pump water out of the state's precious ancient aquifer. Now the pumping has gotten so out of control that water is being tapped faster than it can be replenished by rain and snowfall, leading in some parts of the land to literally sink. What's worse, California farmers are irrigating their lands with water from a 20,000-year-old reservoir, depleting and probably permanently damaging a reservoir that formed in an epic time. Shockingly, until recently, California did not even regulate groundwater use, unlike states like Texas. Anyone could drill a well on their property and simply take as much water as they needed for their own use, a practice that dates back to the gold rush. Then last year, the state finally passed the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act, aimed at regulating water use from the aquifer and other ground resources, but the law is weak. It allows local water agencies to regulate and manage groundwater pumping, but gives the state the power to step in only if local control is deemed deficient. In the meantime, our prized water heritage is being used to water lettuce, alfalfa, and cantaloupes. But we have to eat, don't we? The reality is that what farmers are banking on, and is often enough to shut down a debate on the agricultural water use, but the drought-driven devil is in the details. And yes, we have to eat. But in my personal opinion, you cannot continue, you should not continue with all this farming in the Central Valley. I recently flew over it. It's a desert. It's always going to be a desert, and now you're using up what valuable water you have left in your aquifers. What's the answer? Start a national Marshall program of hydroponic gardening, aquaponic gardening in all states, so we don't have to have all of this agriculture in California and then shipped across the country. We should be growing local produce and using it locally, reducing the climate change impact, reducing the stress upon the infrastructure and the water systems, and let the desert become a desert again. I'm Gary Noll. Thank you all for listening. Look forward to sharing more tomorrow.